So when you get to like the end of your favorite TV show, when it gets to that final episode, there's a little bit more emphasis on it, right? Maybe a lot more eyes are tuned in to what's going on. A great example of this is Seinfeld. I've probably mentioned before that I'm a fan. In its peak, you know, throughout the series, you know, several million people would tune in and watch an episode on a given night. Now, it's before the days of DVR or TiVo recording or streaming, and so you got to watch it live if you're going to watch it. Well, for the finale, right, it was a whole new ballgame with the amount of people that tuned in. 77 million American adults all tuned in at the same time watching it that night. To put that number in perspective, that is 40% of American adults at the time that it aired. 40% of American adults were right there tuned into their TVs watching. Little known fact, that's the night that Frank Sinatra actually passed away. The police chief of Bel Air said what should have been a 30-minute ambulance ride over to his place to pick him up was 4 minutes long because nobody was on the streets in L.A. that night. Everybody was tuned in. Think about the pressure that had to have created for the writers there, right? They've got this thing that has captivated people's minds, and they're tuned in, and they want to really, really see something. With the finale, that is a lot of pressure because when you get to the end of a masterpiece, it's got to be good. Well, this morning, we're getting to the end of Hebrews chapter 11, right? The grand finale of the Hall of Faith. And here's the deal, right? Our writer of Hebrews does his best in the last 8 verses to clear up any confusion and answer any questions we might have about faith in the Christian life. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and join me there, knowing that this morning we wrap up Hebrews 11. Next Sunday morning, we wrap up our series on faith by hitting the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12. And I hope and pray that God's used our time in Hebrews 11 to grow your faith this fall. And faith is the word, right? Every single Sunday morning, we've read the phrase, by faith. And we've seen example after example of God at work in the lives of faithful believers. We've seen faith, we've seen miracles, we've seen the hand of God over and over again. I want you to think about who we've studied the past several months. We've got Abel, and we've got Enoch, and Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, Moses' parents too, remember them? The faith that they put on display, the people of Israel at the Red Sea, and Jericho, and of course Rahab inside the walls of Jericho. Well, we've seen God do so much in and through them. Well, we learned some lessons along the way from their lives. We learned that faith gives God our first and best, right? That's what we learned with Abel. We've learned that faith trusts and obeys. We learned that faith is invested in those coming behind us, this next generation aspect of our faith. We don't keep it to ourselves. We pass it down to our kids and to the generations that are coming after us. We learned that faith takes a risk. All right, it's not always a safe play. We learn that faith holds nothing back. Much, much more. Our title for this morning, if you're taking notes, is this: faith trusts God no matter the results. All right, faith trusts God no matter the results. Look with me at Hebrews 11, starting in verse 32. It says, "What more shall I say? Right, for time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and who put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection." Paul's right there in the middle of verse 35. Everything that we just read, verses 32 through 35, sounds pretty good, doesn't it? These are victories here, right? These are victories. Escaping the sword, quenching fire, stopping the conquering king, all of these are good things. These are victories that God has done by faith in the lives of his people. We're going to finish verse 35, and we're going to go through verse 38, and I want to see if you can pick up on the difference in the second half of this little paragraph here. The second half of verse 35 says this: "Some, though, were tortured, refusing to accept release so they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and in the caves of the earth. Did you catch that? This looks like two very distinct groups of people right here. Verses 32 through the first half of 35, here's what we see. We see God miraculously stepping into the lives of his people and delivering them, right? Giving them earthly help in their time of suffering or trial or need. And then we get to verse 35 and work through 38, and we see these believers also facing earthly struggles and trials and not getting that same miraculous earthly relief. Look at it there. The first half, group one, by faith, they saw God work. And group two, they, by faith, saw God work. Just maybe a little differently than they'd hoped for. Look at verse 39. Verse 39 tells us that both of these groups, the ones that received the miraculous earthly help from God and the ones that did not receive the miraculous earthly help from God, both of those groups are commended because of their faith. Now, as we read Hebrews 11, and we've been in Hebrews 11 for some time, we've talked about this. We know that our writer is recounting the faithful lives of these believers for us to learn from, and then for us to implement that same kind of faith into our lives today, right? We want to learn from them and put it into practice because we're going to face similar situations. So knowing that, reading these two groups here, I'll be transparent with you. My thought, and probably your thought too, is this: God, please let me be in group one. God, please help me in my time of need with these same kind of miracles. But here's the deal. In our lives, we're going to have the opportunity to be a part of both of these groups. And that's why our writer is giving us examples of faith in the midst of both. We learned several things here. If you're taking notes, here's our first point this morning. By faith, God can and does miraculously give earthly help to his people. He can and does perform miracles in the life of his people. Look at verse 33. All of the miracles that are mentioned here happened through faith. God was with his people, and because of their faith, God moved miraculously. Look at the list. We've got Gideon first. Gideon, right, defeated a Midianite army of 100,000 men, and Gideon only had 300 soldiers to go to battle with. Think about that. That is a miracle. That is maybe this group right here, right? 300 people right here. Imagine 300 people going up to Kyle Field and facing 100,000 people in College Station. I mean, like, that's a miracle, right? 300 taking down 100,000. Guess it'd be a miracle for anybody to beat the Aggies right now. back to these miracles here. Barak, similar deal. He defeated the armies of King Sisera, a much smaller army of his own. Samson is mentioned here. He killed 1,000 Philistines in battle with the jawbone of a donkey. Jephthah, he defeated the 20 cities of the Ammonites. David, so many stories we could mention here, but one of the favorites is when David defeats Goliath, right? A gangly teenager, a shepherd boy, defeating a battle-hardened giant. That is a miracle. It is the hand of God taking him through that trial and situation. Samuel and the prophets, read about them. Read their lives in the Old Testament. Repeated signs and miracles of God. Daniel and the lion's den, miracle as the mouths of the lions are shut. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego escaping the fiery furnace, a miracle. The widow of Zarephath, whose son Elijah brings back from the dead, miracle, right? Death to life, a little boy coming back from that's a miracle. The Red Sea, miracle. The miracles at Jericho. Listen, let me just ask you a question this morning. Do you believe in miracles? You should. Listen, if you believe the Bible, you believe in miracles. Don't forget that this morning. Our God does miracles. He does miracles. He did in the Bible, and he still does today. Do not forget that. The same miraculous help given to believers in their time of need in Scripture is given to believers today. Let me just tell you some modern-day miracles. There's a guy, his name is John Patton. He's a Scottish guy, missionary, and God called him to the South Pacific. He was 34 years old. He goes with his wife, Mary. And they're down there in a little island called Tana. It's dangerous. There's cannibals on the island. They're openly hostile to outsiders that come in. But still, he felt that was God's call on his life to go, and so he went. He faced hard work. He faced constant threats. But by faith, he hoped and he prayed for God's miraculous protection. There were days, you can read about it in his journal, where he's there, he hears commotion outside, and he sees warriors around his home ready to come in and to kill him. And so he just goes to praying. And as he's praying, he sees them turn and flee and run back out into the darkness away from his home. And it was years later, this is amazing, years later, he's talking to one of these tribal leaders that has converted to Christianity, and this tribal leader confessed, "There were many times I stood outside your home with men ready to come into your home and kill you. And as we approached your home, we saw hundreds of men in shiny white clothes with swords drawn ready to defend your house, and we knew we couldn't overtake them, so we turned and we ran." Listen, God still does miracles today, and not just on the mission field, not just overseas. Miracles are happening right here. Miracles are happening in this church. Not too long ago, just a couple weeks, right out on our front porch there, a young man showed up one night. He was in distress, a lot going on. He planned to end his life that night. He showed up looking at the cross. It's lit up. Yeah, if you drive by at night, you see it lit up. He's standing there looking at the cross. It's lit up. We didn't have any staff here that night. No Bible studies were going on. We didn't have any facilities. It was wide open. There's nobody here. And he said, out of nowhere, somebody appears in front of him and says, "What are you doing here?" And has this conversation and encourages him, puts his hands on him, prays over him. He said, when that guy put his hands on me, I felt like electricity flowing through my body. He prayed over me. He looked me in the eye and said, "God has a plan for your life. Come back here tomorrow night." He came back the next night, ran into one of our mentors that works in our young adult men's group on Tuesday nights. And that mentor led him to Christ right there in the middle of the atrium. Right, that is a miracle. There's no doubt that an angel appears before him and saved his life and pointed him to where he could trust Christ as his Savior as well. And I shared that in the first service. And after the first service, I had somebody come down right here and tell me, "Hey, listen, my kid has been sick. I've been down at Texas Children's for quite some time. Well, we don't have the money to pay for this. Things are tight. And the lights on the dashboard of my car started going off as I'm driving home in a downpour. And so I pulled into a little car shop that's right there, and a man came out, and he motioned for me to pop the hood, and so I did, and the guy looked under it, he shut it, he came back to my window, looked inside, and he said, "All is well, go home." The lights on her dash were off. She pulls back onto the road, and her little boy sitting in the back seat said, "Mommy, there's angels all around me right now." Miracles happen, that they still can and do happen today. I'm telling you, that's the point of this text that we've got to drive home as we're getting started here. God can and does miraculously give earthly help to his people. Patton's life, spared in the South Pacific, the young man on our porch, the mom with the little boy in the back seat of the car. And listen, as we read Hebrews 11, that's what we see, all of these miracles, and we see them by faith. Count up. In Hebrews 11, 19 times we see the phrase, by faith. God moved as his people had faith. Don't forget that. God moved as his people had faith. There's a really sad verse in the Gospel of Matthew. It's in Matthew 13. Jesus had just finished teaching in his hometown of Nazareth. And the Bible says at the end of chapter 13 that the people are blown away by his teaching. They're like, "Whoa, wait a minute. Who is he from here? Who are his parents again? What's going on here?" So they're blown away by the teaching, but they don't believe, right? And they don't trust in what Jesus is saying. And so listen to how his time in Nazareth ends. It says this, Matthew 13, 58. Jesus did not do many mighty works there. He didn't perform many miracles in Nazareth. Why? Because of their unbelief. You see the difference, right? Between people in Nazareth and the rest of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, those believers lived by faith. Let's be Hebrews 11 people. By faith, knowing that God can and does still move in miraculous ways to help his people. And with that faith, we need to understand the reality of group two as well. Which brings us to our second point this morning. God does not always miraculously give earthly help to his people. It's right there in the text, verse 35 through 38. Torture, mocking, flogging, chains, imprisonment, stoned, sawn in two, killed with the sword, made to live destitute, right? Running and hiding because of their faith in Christ. How do we reconcile groups one and two together? John Piper, pastor, author, he explains these verses 35 through 38 like this. He says, hey, listen, sometimes by faith, God sustains his people through their sufferings. Verse 39 tells us that those in this group that experience suffering, they experience that suffering by faith, meaning that it was their faith in God that carried them through their earthly trials. They pressed on. They didn't cave in. They didn't give in. They didn't give up. No, instead, by faith, they pressed on. And verse 39 tells us that these believers who experienced that suffering by faith, that they were commended for their faith in the same way that Abraham and Noah and Moses and the rest of the chapter is commended for their faith. Some of the examples here at the end of the chapter, Jeremiah and Zechariah, right? Two Old Testament prophets, they were stoned to death. The prophet Isaiah, who we read often in Scripture, he was sawn in two. Tradition teaches that an evil king, King Manasseh, put Isaiah in a hollow tree trunk and then sawed it in half. Horrific and brutal. But it's here to remind us that even men and women of faith will face tragedy and suffering on this earth. Jeremiah, Zechariah, and Isaiah, men of great faith, God used in miraculous ways during their time on earth. God is still using them today as we read Scripture, their writings and about them. And listen, they found themselves not rescued or saved from earthly pain and trials. Instead, they found themselves sustained by the presence and grace of God through those trials. Please, this morning, don't misunderstand what the Christian life is. As we turn to Christ, we're not promised constant happiness. We know what happiness is, right? Happiness, it's just a temporary emotion because of our current circumstances. No, we are promised something far deeper, far more substantial. We are promised fullness of joy. We are promised satisfaction in our hearts that comes from an abiding peace from God that is unrelated to our current circumstances. You see the difference between happiness and joy, right? But we're going to walk through trials, and there's going to be times where God does not step in and miraculously take them away. It's going to happen to each one of us. And the lesson here is to understand that while God might not remove those trials from us, as we look to Him in faith, He will sustain us. He'll give us the strength to press on and carry through. You're going to walk through illness. You're going to walk through injury. You know that. Many of you are in the middle of that right now. We've got people in our church family, sickness and cancer and accidents, trials related to their health. If you're not there now, it's more than likely going to be a season that you will face. You might walk through a broken marriage or fractured relationships. You could be there now just begging God. God, change their heart. God, soften their heart and bring them back. You could be at a place where a dream might die or a business might die, an enterprise that you've poured your heart and your soul and your money and your work and your time into. You've worked for years and it's just not working the way that you've hoped, and you're asking God for a miracle and you're unsure of what's next. You could be betrayed. You could be mocked. You could be canceled by our culture because of your faith. Maybe as a result of our time in the Word or your time in Hebrews 11, you've stepped out in faith, completely obedient to what God's called you to do. You've opened your mouth and shared the truth of Jesus with people. And because of your beliefs, people have mistreated you. They started to shun you. Listen, that's a real thing. It was happening to the original readers of Hebrews in the first century. I've been there. I'm telling you, it hurts. We're going to experience seasons of suffering. And in any one of these examples I've just given, or anything else that you might walk through, God, just like He did for our Scottish missionary in the South Pacific, God could step in like that with angels in a moment, give you earthly rescue from your problems. But like we've seen in Hebrews 11 this morning, He might not. God helped John Patton and spared his life. There's another missionary, a lot of you know his name as well, a missionary named Jim Elliot. God didn't spare his life, right? He died at the hands of the people that he went to share the gospel with. And here's the deal. In both cases, God got the glory, and the gospel was able to advance. God can. He can give earthly miracles to rescue us from our circumstances, and he does, but not always. Not always. Sometimes the help that God gives is a sustaining joy in our hearts to push forward and endure as we suffer in the midst of our faith. Look at verse 34, if your Bible's still open. Verse 34 says, some of these believers escaped the sword. Now look at verse 37. Others were put to death by the sword. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in Acts, Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, King Herod, he kills James with the sword. And the people are excited. Right? They get riled up about it. And so Herod wants to do it again. And he arrests Peter, puts him in prison. He's planning to do the same. Well, miracle. Right? That night, an angel of the Lord shows up in the prison and busts Peter out of prison. James was killed. Peter miraculously saved. Sometimes God delivers his people from suffering. Sometimes God sustains his people through their suffering. That brings us to point three. It's God's plan, not our preference, that determines the outcome. In the first service, there was this massive, because admittedly, this can be frustrating, right? Can be frustrating. There's times where we just don't understand, and we go before the Lord and say, God, I'm telling you, this is how things should be. God, I'm telling you, in my life, you need to do this right now. You need to move this way right now. And we try to put our preferences above God's plan. But when we get this, when we understand that our God is sovereign, this is overwhelmingly comforting. Because as we walk through life and the highs and lows and the victories and the struggles, we're going to experience it all. Right, we're going to ask God to help in those moments when we need a miracle. By faith, we're going to ask, and we absolutely should. And sometimes God sends the help, and sometimes God just sends his presence to endure in the midst of that trial. And here's what you need to know this morning. That the size of our faith, it is not the determining factor in the outcome here, right? God's sovereign plan determines the outcome. And that should comfort us for a number of reasons, but primarily this. How horrible would it be to walk through pain in our life and think that our suffering was because our faith wasn't strong enough? No, those suffering in Hebrews 11, they had great faith. In fact, they're mentioned in the Great Hall of Faith because of their great faith. We don't tell people that are suffering, hey, you're suffering because you don't have faith. Not at all. We open up the Bible and we say, hey, listen, whether you live by faith or die by faith, God's got you. Right? If you are a child of God, God has got you and he is with you. He's going to take care of you. Paul reminds us to live is Christ and to die is gain. Got a great example of this faith that's being modeled to me by a friend right now. He's got a tough diagnosis, right? And here's his faith-filled take. He says this. He says, hey, listen, if God heals me here on earth or if God heals me later in heaven, either way, I win. You know why he can say that? His faith. He knows that ultimately not his plan, God's plan is going to prevail. And God's plan is so much greater than we can fathom. Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We don't always know what God's up to. John Piper says it this way, God's up to 10,000 things in your life right now, and you might know two of them. God's working when we don't know it. You remember those cardboard testimonies that we've done in here before? It's been a while. The way that it works is somebody would walk out on stage and they'd share their testimony by holding up a piece of cardboard. And on the front side, they'd share the beginning of their story. Then they'd flip it over and they'd share the back. And so just as an example, you could have a married couple walk out with their cardboard and they'd be holding it together and it could say, marriage in trouble, on the brink of divorce. And then they'd flip it over and they'd say, God got a hold of our hearts, healed our marriage, and we're stronger than ever, right? This is how God worked in their life. It's an example a testimony there. Well, and studying this week, I read about one of those testimonies that so perfectly sums up God's plan over our preferences. There was a woman that walked out on stage in her church, and she was holding that cardboard, and it said, "Diagnosed with MS." There was a man that walked out with her that said, "Doctor that diagnosed her, I was an atheist." And then the doctor turned it over and said, "Now I'm a Christian, and I was baptized this Easter." And then the woman turns hers over, and you know what it said? It did not say healed from MS. You know what it said? Worth it. It said worth it. You know why? Because she understood that God's ways are higher than her ways. She understood that God's at work even in the midst of her suffering. She understood that God was at work even if she had to continue to go through that trial. She had her eyes up looking forward to eternity, knowing that God is at work to advance the gospel. She had the faith that caused her to look further out to what God had next. And we've seen that all throughout Hebrews 11, right? Look at how it ends, verse 39 and 40. "All of these, though commended through their faith, they didn't receive what was promised," right? They didn't get all the way to the end. That comes in eternity. Look at verse 40. "Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." That's our final point this morning. Faith looks forward to eternity. Verse 35 says, "Some were tortured. They didn't accept release because they were looking forward to a new life," right? One where they would rise again. They knew their suffering here on earth was not the end. They had something better waiting in eternity. And that's the gospel, right? I mean, that's what we believe, the promise that we're going to be with God forever when our time on earth is done. I was talking to a guy this week, not a believer, and just letting him know, hey, our time on earth is a blip, right? It goes like that. It is here and it's gone, and we are living for eternity. And Hebrews 11 weaves that teaching all the way through. All of these great men and women of faith, they are looking towards eternity. Look at verse 16. It tells us that they're looking forward to a heavenly country, one that is only accessible by grace through faith in Christ. Faith looks forward. And that's true of believers that are delivered from their suffering by miracles of God. And that's true of believers that endure suffering, right, sustained by the presence of God in their life. To quote Piper one more time, here's what he says. He says, "Both of them believe that God himself is better than what life can give, and better than what death can take." Let that sink in a minute. Leave that on the screen. Just read that. They believe that God himself, he's the treasure. He's better than what life can give to us now, and he's better than what death can take from us later. Faith says, when we have it all, God, what you have waiting for me is better. When we lose it all, we say, God, what you have waiting for me is better. By faith, we fix our eyes on Jesus, and we live lives that point others to Jesus Christ as well. And if God steps into our circumstance in the middle of our trial and he brings miraculous help and delivers us from that suffering, you know what we say? We say, glory to God, and we point people to Jesus. But if God steps in to our trial and he comforts us as we walk through it, not removing it from us, still we say, glory to God, and we point people to Jesus. By faith, we say, God, whatever role you call me to play, God, if I'm in group one or if I'm in group two, my goal is to have faith that displays your grace, your hope, your love, your mercy, your power to the world around me. In sickness and in health, in poverty and in prosperity, whether through popularity or shame, we live to give God the glory by faith. If you need healing right now, pray by faith and ask God to move in your life. If you're walking through a trial right now, pray by faith, asking God to move in your life. If you're praying for a restored marriage or relationship right now, pray full of faith, trusting God to deliver you from that trial or to carry you through that trial, knowing that faith trusts God no matter what. Think about this. Just what if? What if your first thought at every trial, and your first thought at every blessing, either one, what if your thought was this: God, no matter what, I trust you. How can you use this to point people to Jesus? God, I trust you no matter the result. How can you use this to point people to Jesus? That's the kind of faith that I want to live with and that I want our church family to live with. Faith that says, God, I trust you no matter what. Would you bow with me this morning? And maybe just offer up that prayer to the Lord right now where you're at. Say, God, I trust you no matter what. God, I trust you no matter what. Make it personal to your life. You're walking through something right now. You know someone that's walking through something right now. We all do. Trials and struggles. By faith, say, God, I trust you no matter what group I'm in. God, I desire a miracle. God, I desire you to move and work like only you can move and work in a way that gives you glory. But God, if my miracle is you sustaining me, if it's your presence carrying me through, then God, I trust you with that too. God, by faith, I trust in you. And listen, that faith comes when we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Right? It all starts there. Right? It all starts by being in a personal relationship with God, by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. So if you haven't done that yet, if you're here maybe today to watch, parents dedicate their babies, if you were here today to watch a baptism, if you had a friend invite you, or you just were driving by and you pulled in and you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, we had several last service. That was them. They knew it was time for them to trust in Christ as their Savior. If that's you this morning, in just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. Our pastors will be down front. We'd love to pray with you about trusting Jesus as your Savior. Just walk down and say, I'm ready to trust Christ. We'll take it from there. We'll open up God's Word. We'll answer any questions that you might have. Or maybe this morning, you know, baptism is your next step. You heard Lewis earlier, and you want to go ahead and set it up. You want to be baptized soon? Come talk to us. We'll get that set up and scheduled for you. Come pray with us. Or maybe this morning you're in the midst of one of those trials. I heard it said that you're either in the middle of a trial, you're just coming out of one, or you're about to head into one. So odds are there's a lot of us in here this morning that are walking through a season of struggle. And maybe you just want someone to come alongside you and pray with you, pray over you in the midst of that. We'd be honored to do so. Whatever's going on in your world, I'm going to pray. We're going to stand, and our pastors will be down here. And we'd love to pray with you about whatever God's doing in your heart this morning. Father, we love you. We trust you. God, by faith, we say to you, no matter what happens, God, we trust you. We want to live for you. Draw us close like only you can draw us close. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.